It is 7:02 p.m. Thank you so much to the members for being here, because we're going to try and play a little catch-up here with our bills that we had last week. So here present is Representative Harriet Drummond, Representative George Rauscher, Representative Delana Johnson, Representative Dave Tallarico, Representative Andy Josephson, Representative Dean Westlake, and myself, Representative Tarr. So please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you to Ms. Tillinghast, who's our ever steady and faithful record keeper, and to Summers Cole, who's joining us from the LIO. Also welcome Representative Justin Parrish. So we are only planning to meet for about an hour, and there's several items on the calendar this evening, and so we're going to do our best to try and get through these items. And what we're going to do is take House Bill 87 first. We need to finish public testimony on that, and then if the will of the committee is there, then move that bill from our committee this evening. We have HB 46 and HB 172 that we heard last week and held over at the request of members to have a little more time to review them, and we'd like to take action on those this evening if possible. And then HJR 12 and HB 32, we probably will not have time for, but hopefully we can get to HJR 12. So we're going to try and have an action-packed hour here and try to get caught up a little bit. And like we have in a couple previous weeks, we have some extra meetings scheduled this week in case they're necessary. But if we get our work done, then, of course, we will not need those extra meetings. So with that, we're going to go to HB 87. That is the conflicts on the Board of Fish, Board of Game, and we were in public testimony. We left public testimony open. I do not have the record of the individuals that participated in the public testimony the first time, and so I'm just going to ask for the individuals. I see two individuals online to testify about this bill, and if you've already testified, if you would please let us know that, because we do intend to just allow each individual to testify once. But I think the two names online are folks who haven't testified. Representative Chris Birch has joined us, so please let the record reflect that was just a moment ago. So full house here. So with that, I'm going to open up public testimony again, and we have Mark Richards from Resident Hunters of Alaska online. Mr. Richards, are you available?
I am. Thank you.
If you could please state your name for the record, and we'll limit testimony this evening to 2 minutes. And once you've stated your name for the record, we'd be pleased to hear your testimony. Please begin.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Tarr. Good evening. My name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska. We pronounce our acronym RAC. Speaking to RAC this evening, we sent in a letter to the Fisheries Committee a month ago that should be in your packet. The concerns we have on this bill, first, we believe its issues and sponsors seized with the Board of Fisheries, and we would recommend that the Board of Game not be included in this legislation. Our second and primary concern has to do with what we expressed in our letter. The current version of HB 87 would amend AS 39.52 by 1.120 by adding a new subsection that begins with the language, quote, "notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter," unquote. That means it would supersede the requirements in AS 39.52.120C and 39.52.220 that are the main aspects of the Executive Branch Ethics Act. Doing that would broadly open the door to basically allow someone to serve on the Board of Fisheries or Game while potentially having a range of conflict of interest issues that would not serve the boards well, and in fact, there'd be a detriment to a fair public process. Another concern we have, or rather it's an observation, I've been at the Board of Game meeting in Glen Allen right now, and it's that we know both the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game are aware of this bill. It's come up in Board of Game discussions. The chairman of the Board of Game did not see any reason to change how things work currently with that board. So the observation is that it's just odd, I guess, that neither board has weighed in on this since they know about it. They've not commented in support of opposition, or at least for this try to explain these kind of conflict of interest occurrences, if that's really an issue that concerns them. In closing, I want to say that we do understand the rationale to redefine an immediate family member within the Executive Branch Ethics Act for Board of Fisheries members, and therein perhaps lies the entire crux of this bill that the sponsor has recognized causes issues with the Board of Fisheries members and may hamper the potential to recruit future knowledgeable members of the Board of Fisheries. The bottom line is that this bill goes too far in trying to fix an issue that occurs far and away only with the Board of Fisheries. Thank you for your time, Madam Co-Chair, and members of the committee. I'm open to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. We do have a question from Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mr. Richards, Andy Josephson, Co-Chair. Your comment, because I studied this a little bit on the floor, that somehow the bill trumps existing subsection 3952.120C, and by connection to that, 52.220. I'm just wondering whether that's true, because the bill, which creates a new subsection G, as in good, says that it still says before deliberating, the member shall disclose the interest on the record. So it doesn't say that, it's not so relaxed that it says don't you worry about conflicts of interest. In fact, those still have to be disclosed fully. So I'm trying to get your point on that.
Thank you, Representative Josephson, you are the chair. I'm assuming you've read the legal memo, that says the same thing, and that as long as that language is in the bill, it starts out notwithstanding any other chapter, any other provisions of this chapter, it would supersede and cancel out those other provisions in 3952.120C and 3952.220. That's the way we understand it from an attorney's position.
Follow up. Mm-hmm. Except that the way I read subsection G in the bill, which is a new subsection, the first sentence is the one that you're concerned with, and all it says is its uniqueness. Essentially, what it says is the person, notwithstanding a conflict, can still deliberate. That's all that's new there, as I read it, isn't it?
I'm reading version R, that was the one submitted the last time you guys heard this bill. Is that the current version?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the version that came back into House Resources instead of version U that went out of House Fisheries, and that's my understanding is that we're looking at version R.
Correct. You're right about that.
And if what you were saying is true, Representative Josephson, then there would be no reason whatsoever to have that language, notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter. That would basically negate having that language in this bill.
Okay, I don't read it that way, but thank you.
Representative Parrish has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, a question for our testifier. Would it be, it's my understanding then that you wish the Board of Game to be excluded from this piece of legislation. Is that correct?
Yes, Representative Parrish, that is correct.
Thank you. My second question is for our chair. Do we have anyone on the line who'd be responsible for interpreting this statute?
We do have Mr. Haight, who staffs the Board of Fish. And so, Mr. Haight, have you heard the questions that were just asked?
Yeah. Hello, Madam Chair, for the record, this is Glenn Haight with the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Yeah, I did hear the conversation, and unfortunately, I'm probably the best one to interpret it. Seth Boatsang, our attorney who works on these issues, can answer best. But I think from my read, I would agree with Representative Josephson. I don't think it's that particular line has come up with an issue. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any follow-up for Mr. Haight, Representative Parrish?
Yeah, I suppose, thank you, Madam Chair, first. I suppose my worry here is that the conflict of interest is redefined in this section because the definition of immediate family member has changed in the last portion. But it's my impression from co-chair Josephson and our our testifier on the line that I'm off base in my concern. Is that correct? That I'm off base, that my concern is misplaced?
Mr. Haight, I think that's a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Parrish, could you please tell me exactly what it is that you're concerned with? I'm not following you.
Sure, sorry. The question is, for the purposes of determining whether or not a conflict of interest exists, does this represent a substantive departure from the status quo?
To the Chair, Representative Parrish, yes, it narrows what is a immediate family member, so it redefines that. That's the main thing that it does, and then otherwise, the individual, if a conflict is observed, they're not fully recused. They're allowed to be involved in deliberations but not vote. And I think it's simple. That's how I would read it.
Thank you, Mr. Haight.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other questions from Mr. Richards or Mr. Haight while we're here? Representative Drummond.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Richards, for testifying this evening. I'm just interested in the who you represent in your organization and where your members are, how many there are. I'm just interested. I'm new to the Resources Committee and new to this process, so I'm just trying to get to know who the folks that care involve.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. I'd be happy to explain. Again, I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska. We pronounce our acronym RAC. We started last March. We formed because of concerns we had with the Board of Game and decisions they were making about our wildlife resources and about allocations to resident hunters. We already represent well over 1,000 Alaskan families. So we're a very fast-growing organization, and we're really trying to advocate for a resident hunter priority according to our state constitution.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Representative Johnson has a question.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm really confused about this because I think we're considering something in the House that is to make our conflict of interest more stringent, and this is asking that we go the other direction, and so I guess it's kind of a little bit of a whiplash to think which way we're going. So do we have, I heard someone say that we had a legal opinion.
You do, I said that, Representative Johnson, and if you look in your packet there, you should see the less legal opinion that went before the Fisheries Committee when this bill was first heard, and it stresses the same thing that I did, that notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter, negates other aspects of the Executive Branch Ethics Act.
Okay, I'll have to look and see if I have it here.
If I may, I don't have time. I know you guys are busy, and it's been a hard thing to testify on this bill the last couple of times, but the Board of Fisheries doesn't operate the same as the Board of Game, and I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but the Board of Fisheries has what they call like breakout sessions during meetings where they separate into subcommittees where the public representatives, board members can be heard. So even before that board goes into deliberations, board members with any conflicts can still, speak to these issues openly and debate them with everybody. And again, this is really a Board of Fisheries issue. The conflicts mostly occur there, and we just see no reason to include the Board of Game in this legislation.
Representative Westlake has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe Representative Rauscher had one before.
I don't care who goes first.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Mr. Richards, I want to thank you for being involved this way. What we're listening to, the bill in front of us is about liberating more those people that have an expertise, as I understand it, that can contribute to a policy discussion. What we've heard, as you're well aware, is someone's ex being involved or a distant relative. When what we're trying to get to and address in the Board of Fisheries, and I would hope in the Board of Game, is not who you're related to, but what you could bring to the table. We've heard from people out there saying, we value the expertise that they bring in, yet they're excluded. Now we understand that the perceived conflict that's out there. However, we want to hear their opinion when we're doing this. Is there something that I'm missing in here, sir?
Thank you, Representative Rasher. I don't think you're missing anything, but again, both boards, the Board of Game and the Board of Fisheries, members have the opportunity prior to deliberations to discuss these issues with the advisory committees, with members of the public when they testify, and again with the Board of Fisheries when they have their special breakout sessions that the Board of Game does not have. So the main issue with this bill, in talking to Mrs. Stutz, is that on the Board of Fisheries, it's hard to recruit members who don't have a conflict. For example, in certain communities, the people that would be good to serve on the board maybe might be sit netters or drift netters or commercial fishermen. And so she wants those people to be able to apply for the board, sit on the board, and not be conflicted out when these issues come up. But there's really the main issue has to deal with this changing what is an immediate family member. And I would also add, I've spoken to two Board of Fishery members on this, and what you've heard so far about the example given is not true. It wasn't somebody's ex. It was somebody's stepson. And so I would advise to just get more information on this before passing it through committee.
We're going to go because Representative Josephson has a follow-up, so we'll go to him first and then to Representative Rauscher. Just has a follow-up on this specific point.
Yes, through the chair, for Mr. Richards. Even if you agree that that there may be a different version, I'm not saying I accept your set of facts, but that there may be a different version about whether a past marital relationship was at issue in a conflict case, the other testimony we heard that was very compelling was that the number 55 comes to mind, that there were 55 out of 100-plus proposals where a member had to sit and could only testify as a member of the public would testify. That seems to me excessive. That is, if the system required that someone sit down for half the meeting and not participate when maybe they traveled, they were appointed by the governor, confirmed by the legislature, isn't that a little bit out of control?
Representative Josephson, Mr. Haidt is online, and he's already given the data on how many times this happens. And again, this really only occurs with the Board of Fisheries. And one of our main points is that we do not believe the Board of Game should be included in this legislation. And again, I would reiterate that the Board of Fisheries, the way they operate, there's ample time for members to discuss with the public and with representatives of organizations, with advisory committees, during those breakout sessions to give their viewpoint. The only thing they're not allowed to do when they disclose a conflict is to deliberate and vote on those proposals. So we don't see any reason why any board member should be allowed to deliberate when they've basically already been doing that the entire meeting.
All right, just a quick follow-up.
Mm-hmm, follow-up.
Mr. Richards, the at least one group that you're familiar with that represents hunters believes that it should stay connected to the Board of Fish's conflicts legislation, or it will be deemed an institution that has a more strict standard. I'll let anyone who wants to testify about that testify, but what do you make of that opinion?
Yes, Representative Gibson, yes, I've read their letter and I've read their concerns, and it's a difficult situation. Again, I want to reiterate, RAC supports, Resident Hunters Alaska, we support changing the definition of an immediate family member. That's the part of this bill we do support. basically go the other direction and allow people to serve on the Board of Game and Water Fish when they had a conflict and be allowed to deliberate on these proposals and influence the decision when they're clearly conflicted out.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and then Representative Rauscher, thank you for your patience. It's your question, sir.
Yeah, through the chair, I just need some clarification here. They're not allowed to vote, but they're allowed to take part in breakout session discussion, correct?
Representative Rauscher, I believe that is true, and perhaps the bill sponsor would want to come to the table in case there are some questions and don't want to get it wrong. Mr. Harris, if you wouldn't mind putting yourself on the record and just to take that question, please.
Madam Chair, Reed Harris, staff to represent students. If you could rephrase or re-ask the question one more time, sir.
And through the chair, then, and there's also a broadening of types of relatives that are included in your exclusion.
So, and just maybe, Mr. Harris, if you could remind us on those two points, the definition of, you know, what creates the conflict, as well as the participation in the board meeting, participating in the conversation versus participating in the conversation and being allowed to vote.
Madam Chair, Reed Harris again for the record. Representative Rauscher, the bill does two things. First of all, it allows a member who has a declared conflict, and you must declare your conflicts before the meeting begins. It allows them to deliberate. They still cannot vote. Currently, members, once you declare a conflict, if you were a member of the board and said, you know, I have a son that works in this hunting operation or fishery, for that example, you would not be allowed to either deliberate or vote. And the reason we have this bill before the committee is there's an issue where, and we come from the fisheries office, but we also feel this applies to the Board of Game. In fact, we've heard from people who say this does happen on the Board of Game. We feel that you're losing a lot of expertise on these boards, and furthermore, you'll find people who are not willing to put their name forth to sit on the boards because they say, well, I am an expert in these fields. I would like to help. But at the same time, if I'm going to be spending half my time recused and unable to participate, there's no reason for me to be doing this. So that's point one of the bill. Point two is it actually narrows the scope of what an immediate family member is. So currently immediate family member in statute of the Ethics Act 3952-220, I believe. I'm afraid I left my book in the office, includes aunts, uncles, grandparents, and a couple of other extended relatives. This narrows the scope of what is considered an immediate family member as far as members of both these boards, the Board of Fishers and the Board of Game, are concerned. I hope that answers your question.
So it's the opposite of what I said.
I believe so, Representative Rauscher.
Then through the chair, this is unlike any other board in their opinion, someone's opinion, that exists within our state now. Is that correct? This situation.
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, the state has a large number of boards and commissions. This bill is tailored specifically at an issue that the sponsor sees with the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Games. So it doesn't apply to all boards. It applies to specifically those two.
Through the chair, that wasn't really what I wanted to know. What I wanted to know is this, the problem that they see only exists in this particular arena and none of the other boards is what I'm getting, which is why the need to call them out specifically.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I couldn't speak to all the boards. What we had brought before us by some interested parties were specifically these two boards.
And Representative Rauscher, the Board of Fish and Board of Game are in the same section of statute, so as it is right now, you know, what you do for one, you do for the other. And I don't want to get into too much committee discussion just because we do have another individual waiting for testimony, but just so we don't get hung up on a point, with not getting that clarified. Is that okay, Representative Rauscher?
Yeah, I will hold my questions later.
Okay. So we had Mr. Richards as the Executive Director of the Resident Hunters of Alaska. Any questions for Mr. Richards?
Yeah,
Okay, so Representative Burks, I'm just going to ask you to hold that because we have one other testifier, and once we get through that, then we'll close public testimony and we'll go back to questions to the bill sponsor, if that works.
And Madam Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. If I could make one point as far as the last testifier went. We had Christy Tibbles, the executive director of the Board of Game, in the last hearing for this bill. She was unavailable tonight, but she had said the board is neutral on this bill. They did not have an opinion for or against it. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Let's go to Al Barrett, and let's take his public testimony. That's the only other individual, then we'll be able to, you know, sort of let those folks go unless they want to listen in and continue the committee discussion. Mr. Barrett, are you available?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am.
Okay, please state your name for the record, and then we'd be pleased to take your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Al Barrett. I reside in Fairbanks, and I'm representing myself today. Excuse me. I'm a former Board of Game member. I'm a current advisory committee, and I've attended Board of Game and Board of Fish meetings for the last 17 years. I've participated in all levels of the Board of Game and Board of Fish, and what I disagree with this part of the bill is having a recused member still be allowed to participate in deliberations. I have attended every meeting that I have attended, I've seen non-voting members that are at the deliberation tables influencing board members on how to make their votes. And these non-voting members of these boards are people like Division of Wildlife Protection, Division of Fish and Game, Division of Subsistence, and the attorneys. And Division of Subsistence. So you have a lot of non-voting members trying to influence board members on how they should vote. And I believe if you're a well-prepared board member and you know that you will have to recuse yourself from a few or many proposals, there's avenues on how you can get your expertise in front of the board by on-time written comments, public testifying, recorded copies that can be submitted, and they have the chance to lobby other board members whether on breaks or after hours. And I think if you're really wanting to get expertise on proposals of a region or an area, you would invite the ACs to be a part of those deliberations. They have many more years experience than any board member on the fish or game boards. And I have submitted some written comments to you guys, and I think for an order of time, I'll just stop at that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barrett. We appreciate your testimony. And just, there was a question, the ACs are the advisory committees. And they're
the advisory committees. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
No problem. There's a question from Representative Josephson.
Yes, through the chair. Mr. Barrett, my concern is that what you're describing is a comprehensive reform of this part of Title 39 or maybe some parts of Title 16. I mean, because what you're saying is, in effect, boy, you don't know the half of it. I'm speaking sort of paraphrasing. You don't know the half of it. It's not just these other members who can't vote but can deliberate. You should see what else goes on. There's all this influence going on. And I'm thinking that I don't have that bill before me.
I was using it as an analogy of having a board member that has been recused and is currently not allowed to deliberate or participate in deliberations. And I'm saying if you allow somebody to be recused and then allow them to participate in deliberations, they still could profit from influencing less knowledgeable board members or less seasoned board members in the region by people looking up and saying, wow, this guy's from this area, I should pay attention to it and kind of go with the way he's voting instead of doing, you know, being well prepared as a board member and making my own decision. Mm-hmm. And you would see that if you would attend as many meetings as I've had.
Okay. Any follow-up, Representative Josephson? No. Any additional questions for Mr. Barrett? Representative Birch has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair. What is the level of administrative support that a typical Board of Fisheries board member or Board of Game board member would have at their disposal vis-a-vis employees within Fish and Game, advisory folks, and I'm just not familiar with the depth of their support services. Can you speak to that as a long-time observer of these board activities?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Rauschow, they have the full staffing, the full Department of Fish and Game. You have all the representatives from the Division of Subsistence. You'll have the rules people that help write the language that's going to be in the regulations. You have a Department of Law personnel. You have a Department of Wildlife Enforcement person there, and so they're all there to, if asked, they can, they can answer questions that they have concerns with. But you also have, the Department of Fish and Game and the Department of Wildlife Troopers, who actually submit proposals to the Board of Game and the Board of Fish, and then they deliberate on their own proposals that they've submitted.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah, there is an issue.
Any other questions for Mr. Brett? Okay, well, we thank you for your time this evening, Mr. Brett. I understand that there are two individuals here in the room that would like to testify, Mr. Jerry Mackey, and if you want to come forward, we'd be happy to take your testimony.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Sorry, I've had a bit of a cold. Jerry Mackey, I'm from Anchorage. I think most of you know I'm a lobbyist, but I'm actually just here as a citizen because this issue is important to me. And I served in the legislature for 10 years. Previously represented the district that the sponsor, Representative Stutes. I'd like to thank her. This issue has been around forever, and I wish I could have fixed it when I was in the legislature, but I didn't, and so I applaud her for trying to do this. To me, that I think you all know how hard it is for a resident of Alaska to serve on the Board of Fish or Game. I mean, just the politics of getting confirmed, first of all, not to mention the amount of time that you leave your family and your jobs and your life to go and serve on these boards. It can be weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's just really beyond me why we would ask an Alaskan to go and serve in this position, because they bring some expertise to the table, and then have them go sit in the crowd and not even participate in the conversation. And not just, the fishermen. A little history, I was a seiner here in Southeast for 10 years, and I owned a lodge for 10 years, and I fish and hunt to this day, not hunt so much anymore. But it always bothered me that that people aren't allowed to bring their expertise to the discussion table, much like our legislature, made up of people from all walks of life, from all across the state, and collectively, you all, represent and are able to have a conversation. Clearly, you all as members declare your conflict, and I've never seen it that anybody ever allowed somebody not to vote. You always have to vote, but you declare the conflict. That's the process, and that certainly doesn't go away in this bill at all. But whether it's on the Board of Fish, when it's somebody from that's a commercial fisherman or representing sport interests or somebody that's a scientist or whatever their background is, they were originally appointed because they had expertise and they would bring a lot to the process. But what about somebody that goes on the Board of Game or the Board of Fish that with a subsistence background or representing hunting lodges or something? And yeah, we all have some inherent conflict at one point or another. So I really do believe that they should be allowed to participate in the discussion. And the bill doesn't say they can vote, even, but to bring that expertise to the table. I think this is a problem that has needed to be fixed for a long time, and if you think about what we're asking people to do to serve in these positions, that you would be well served by fixing this and allowing people to do the job that they were asked, and more importantly, the sacrifices they make to do the job. The state would be well served by passage of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mackey. Any questions for Mr. Mackey? Representative Birch has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, there's 750,000 Alaskans, 750,000 Alaskans. There's probably 250,000 of them that got a fishing license. it's beyond me why, you know, I mean, it seems to me like there's got to be a large enough pool of people that have an interest in the kind of the realm of fishing that you can find, you know, a handful of people that are interested and willing to serve on these boards that aren't related to each other or don't have a financial interest with each other or can be independent of each other. The thing that I struggle with, it says this draft broadens the scope of potential conflicts that will be excluded from the violations under the Executive Branch Ethics Act. So at a time when we're actually at the House, kind of discussion about really screwing down the whole, you know, the ethics and heightening the amount of disclosure, this is going the opposite direction. And we had some testimony earlier about somebody that was getting a check every year from a prior husband or something that was on the board and couldn't participate, and I don't know that that's all bad. I mean, it seems to me like I'd just be interested in your, because you've obviously got a depth of experience in the area, and don't you think there's a large enough pool of people out there to find willing souls to participate in the betterment of our state's fisheries?
Well, sure. I mean, if you look at it in a broad state, but let me just share with you my perspective. And first of all, I wanted to say this is actually the first time in 15 years of being a lobbyist that I ever actually testified in front of a committee. So I kind of feel strongly about this, and I appreciate your indulgence. But the reason that I think that it's important to narrow this down to your children and to really your immediate family member, I mean, even adopted children or some financial dependency or something, is because, I mean, I grew up in a village. I'm Alaska Native myself, and I can tell you there could be an individual from a small community that is really the right person to serve and represent that region or that area or that particular fishery or whatever. I'm speaking in general. They could be technically related to the whole town if you include all the aunts and the cousins and the in-laws and everybody else. I mean, so realistically, how much is a how far does a financial conflict extend? And I never really bought it when people tried to link conflicts to certain legislators and stuff. I mean, the key here is that you disclose what your financial conflict is, and you disclose that appropriately in within the law. But then you offer your expertise in the deliberation. And to me, I don't see any problem with that whatsoever. I think, yeah, you can say we have 750,000 people in the state. We should be able to draw seven people from that. But if you're really, truly opening it up to the whole state and to every aspect of, you have to have some boundaries and some realistic limitations. I've never been a big fan that someone in the legislature shouldn't participate in a conversation because they know something about the issue. We're a citizen legislature. That's why all the legislators come together, to be able to have an open debate, disclose the conflict, but then tell it like it is, and then vote. And you're not even allowing them to vote. And if it's up to me, they'd be able to vote too. But I think this is a reasonable approach and a really well thought out policy that the representative has put together to address it.
Okay. Thank you.
Any follow up? Oh, you're good, Representative Birch?
I'm done. Yeah.
Okay, I think Representative Rauscher, did you have a question for Mr. Mackey?
No, I guess what I want to know is, what is a chapter?
Perhaps Thatcher can help you with that. I don't have the bill right in front of me.
You're asking what a chapter is? So if you look at the bill, for example, 39 is the title, 52 is the chapter, 120 is the section, and G is the subsection.
Okay, so there you go.
This is about chapter 52.
So this is about more than just relatives, because there are financial gain involved. There are a lot of things to weed people out other than they happen to be fishermen. You know, I see where somebody, we've chased a line of discussion where they say it's really hard to find somebody who's involved in the game who would not have relatives who are involved in the game who cannot take part of the discussion. But there's a lot of things that weed you out, whether it's financial gain and the amount of the financial gain. So it really, it's not just one thing. It has to be a combination, doesn't it? Or am I wrong here?
Representative Rauscher, I think you're correct in that if you look on page 2 of the bill, there are a few
you know, specific things of who the person is, and then it more clearly defines, you know, that they would have to reside with a member, be financially dependent on the member, or share the substantial financial interest. And so I think if I'm following your line of comments there, that, yes, there's more than one.
It's a little bit more than just being related to somebody here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As I believe.
I guess that's where my question was headed. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Parrish had a question for Mr. Mackey.
Yes, I suppose I could probably tack a question on to the end. I hear what you're saying with the being related to everyone in town. My great-grandmother and another woman were cousins, and so I call the other woman's granddaughter auntie because, you know, it's family. And that's, we're all pretty tightly bound in Southeast. I suppose I'm going to take this excuse to, or take this occasion as an excuse to respond to a comment made by a couple of my peers here, that in the House of Representatives we're moving to tighten the rules about conflict of interest, because right now in the House there are functionally no rules about conflict of interest. We declare, any one person objects, and we participate in the discussion and we move on. So if we could meet somewhere in the middle, I think that would be okay. Coming from where you are, you're a pretty astute observer of the legislature. Where do you think the ideal balance falls between the legislature, where more or less, despite any wild conflict of interest, we're still going to vote at the end of the day, and the Board of Fish and the Board of Game, where even if they've got a pretty distant conflict of interest, they're prevented from voting or even talking?
Well, I didn't have anything to do with the drafting of this bill, and the representative didn't even know that I was going to say anything on the bill. I just came to do that because I see she's trying to resolve something that's truly been an issue for a long time. I mean, I represented coastal communities Southeast and Kodiak for a long time. This issue's been around for a long time. Where do you draw that line? I don't know. The example that I was trying to use is, if you're in a, let's say you come from King Cove, in the news a lot lately, everybody knows where King Cove is now. I mean, you literally can be related to half the community with cousins and other things like that. And if one cousin has a set net permit and one has a gill net permit over here and another has a seine permit, cousin, distant cousins, not your children, not you, not your spouse, not your brothers, you know, immediate family member. But I mean, if that extends so far that you can't even deliberate on any of the issues that are important to that region, which is one of the reasons your community and region and people supported your nomination to be on the board in the first place, to give them some representation, to me that's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just, how do you get somebody to go, be willing to go do that? You all know how hard it is to serve in the legislature even. And so, you know, I just think it needs to be fixed. To answer your question specifically, I think there's a certain trust, there's a certain responsibility on elected officials or appointed officials for disclosure. And there's a trust and an honesty, you know, an honor system, that you know when there's a conflict or not. You know that if you're financially dependent on it, or it affects your son or your immediate family member, as clearly defined in this particular bill, you know when there's a conflict, and it's incumbent upon you to disclose that conflict. If you don't, there are ramifications for that. We all know that. And so I think with respect to this particular bill, with this issue, with my knowledge of a lot of the people that have served and others that haven't even wanted to serve because of some of these things, I think that she has done a really good job finding a nice balance for this particular issue. Your other issue about the legislature and stuff is a little broader, and my intuition tells me I don't need to comment on that. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Mackey, for your testimony. We also have Thor Stacy from Alaska Professional Hunters. Mr. Stacy, if you could please put yourself on the record, and then we'd love to hear your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Thor Stacey, and I'm a lobbyist for the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. I also hold registered guide license number 1194. I'm going to keep my comments very brief in interest of the committee's time. The Professional Hunters Association's Board of Directors met last week and discussed the legislation. The concern is not to strip the Board of Game out of this legislation. The two boards were treated similarly to begin with. We support that policy moving forward. We feel that treating the boards differently on such an important issue such as conflict of interest at this time would have downrange effects that are unintended, likely in the courts, that would disadvantage the Board of Game unfairly in the discussion broadly. I want to briefly address three points, that of conservation, allocation, and then the appointment process. Clearly having knowledgeable persons that have a financial conflict in an area, those persons also have information to add to a discussion on conservation of the resource. Clearly the people that know the resource, that know the region in question, and that have a financial interest in that area, those folks definitely have something to add to the discussion where conservation is concerned. Secondly, allocation. Allocation comes down to an issue of trust. If the general public and the legislature and the governor trust someone, they tend to feel good about the votes that they make when they're divvying up the resource. If there's anything in this bill that is perceived to undercut the trust that the public has in the board, we would be concerned with that. In the long run, stable allocation decisions based on a trusting public is in the interest of the hunting guides. And then third is the appointment process. Conflict of interest has been increasingly used as a weapon during the confirmation of board members. Just last year, there was a group where the Board of Game was concerned that filed a conflict of interest complaint with the AG, and then during the confirmation process, before that that complaint had a chance to run its course or be decided upon, they used the fact that a conflict of interest complaint had been filed as justification for turning votes in the legislature. Now, the legislature takes conflict of interest or personal profiting very someone that's trying to enrich themselves or their family members very seriously where giving the resource is concerned. And when you look at using conflict of interest as a weapon, you say, well, how can you as legislators ascertain if somebody is really using their position on the board to enrich themselves or their family members? Well, allowing them to go on the record and deliberate on a proposal gives you evidence of that board member's thoughts or motives and how they may or may not be influencing the process. Right now, where they're excluded from debating, there's no hard evidence to support or refute accusations of conflict of interest at this time. So where conflict of interest is concerned and where the legislature is concerned about confirming a board member, it would make sense that there should be at least some evidence on the record if there are conflict of interest, if a person is using their position to enrich themselves or their family members. So with that, I'm happy to entertain any questions specific to the Board of Game, the Professional Hunters Association's specific interest is the Board of Game, and I know there's been a lot of questions or confusions about the difference between the Board of Game and Board of Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Stacey. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Stacey? Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The resident hunters of Alaska earlier on supported the latter section, the redefinition of immediate family member, but did not support the prior. I'd just like to give you a chance explicitly to respond to that concern.
Through the chair, Representative Parrish, I think APHA would obviously have the exact opposite opinion. We would support the clarification of family members, so I guess we would agree in that case of the former testifier, but we would not support removing the Board of Game from the legislation. The legislation designed to fix an issue with the Board of Fish. However, those issues obviously occur on the Board of Game, so if there's a problem identified on the Board of Fish, you should fix both boards at one time versus stripping one and seeing what happens down the road or happens later. Hunting guides are not the only group that have conflict of interest. You can make credible arguments for As we know, there's issues with wildlife viewing and concerns where wildlife viewing is at issue. Wildlife viewing could have larger conflict of interest or much broader implications where a board member may have to recuse themselves, as would transporters. So while I speak from the hunting guide's perspective, there are many other potential commercial users that could be appointed to the Board of Game that would be excluded from even deliberating in the vote if the former testifier's suggestions were taken up by this committee in the form of an amendment.
Any follow-up?
No. Hopefully that was clear. I apologize. It was confusing. Mm.
Okay. Mm. Any other questions for Mr. Stacey? Thank you, Mr. Stacey. We appreciate your testimony this evening. That concludes the individuals who were signed up for public testimony. So I'm going to close public testimony, and that brings the bill back before us. If the bill sponsor and staff could please come forward, I think there are a couple of additional questions from committee members. Representative Josephson has a question.
Thank you. Through the chair, it's I guess, from Mr.
Harris.
I almost said Stoops. I think I know. I can be forgiven for that, I think. Mr. Harris, I'm looking at this legal memo, and I generally don't find myself in disagreement with them, but I think I disagree with this one. But first, let me ask you something. When the sponsor's bill talks about disclosing something on the record, I then look at the legal memo and section 3952.220A, and there's this very involved process for this must occur way before the meeting, because I don't know how else you could do it, but there's this very involved process about contacting a supervisor or the attorney general. Do you see all that? My question is your bill, does it aim to trump this entire process, or does it merely say that for the purposes of a potential conflict, one may deliberate?
Representative Josephson, Reed Harris, Staff Rep. Seuss. What you see, through the chair, sir, what you see in the legal memo there is still maintained. Before, and I can speak to the Board of Fisheries more than the Board of Game, but before the board meeting happens, you have proposals that are brought to the board. They have a list, sometimes a laundry list, and it says, these are the things that will be considered. Please, if you know you have conflicts, make a note of that, and we will we'll speak before the meeting. At that point, the chair will say, okay, yes, you have a conflict. You will not deliberate or vote on this. You have a conflict. You will not deliberate or vote on this. That process is still in statute here. So that process, excuse me, this process has not changed at all. The Attorney General, there's language in there. I've been told that unless it's really questioned, he's generally not notified by such a thing. It's generally up to the chair of the board. I believe if it's questionable, he'll, in that case, bring it to the AG's office. But that process is still left in place here. What this bill allows the person to do is, once they have filled out this form, said, I have a conflict, that they are allowed to deliberate, they still may not vote, as is the current process.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Rauscher.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, we've got a lot of boards in the state of Alaska. We have a lot of boards in municipal government. We have a lot of boards, and all of them seem to use the same protocol as far as what they allow, what they don't allow. And the only thing that I've heard so far is that we have breakout sessions, which are important. I know Matsu Borough has executive sessions. Those, to me, are breakout sessions. I don't know. I'm just trying to understand the importance to this particular committee itself, which is completely different than every other committee in the eyes of this piece of legislation, I guess. And I was hoping maybe you can clarify that a little bit more for me.
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I guess an example I would use is the Board of Hairdressers, I would have to assume, is mostly made up of hairdressers because they know the most about that profession. The Board of Fisheries tends to consist of fishermen, whether it's personal use, subsistence, commercial, sport fish, or other. The Board of Game tends to be guides, transporters, people involved in that industry. the reason we have this bill before you is because we're losing expertise off of these boards. Why, your question I think you've asked twice now, different phrasing potentially, is why are the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Games being treated differently than other boards and commissions? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Again, the problem that was brought to the sponsor's office was the Board of Fisheries and Board of Game are having this issue. I haven't heard from any other boards or commissions. This legislation's already passed through one committee, and this is the second hearing scheduled in this. I would assume if there were issues in other boards or commissions that could have brought it to the office, but really this legislation is specifically tailored towards these two boards, which sit under the same statute.
The chair. Yeah, I don't mean to be argumentative, but you did pick hairdressing. I see that them all working together for the benefit of the business. Now that's fine. And to relate that to this particular board, I see them all working for the benefit of fish and or game, whichever way you want to look at this. So, but there are many facets to it. There are guides, you know, and there are, sports, and then there are, you know, people who subside on that, and then there's all different types of interests and all different types of personal gain, and whether and I think that they compete in this arena. Okay, it's not like, and I don't want to make light of hairdressers. Perms against dying or whatever, but you see what I'm saying, that there is big money industry, billions of dollars on different facets of this industry, where these people are saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I think one facet that you may be involved very heavily in may gain from what you're doing and your input here and your exposure to the conversation and their exposure to you through the conversation. I guess that's the difference that I see, and I just was trying to understand how that would be different than other agencies which are involved in government, where you have competing industries competing against each other, which is why some of these ethical standards were put into place.
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, I'd like to make, I guess, 2 points in response to your comments there. The first is, and I said this in the last committee, this is from statute, members on both these boards are appointed for their knowledge in public affairs, good judgment, and ability in the field of action. As the former Senator Mackey said in his testimony a few minutes ago, these are supposed to be upstanding people. In fact, they're vetted by you as the legislative body. We will see any appointments for the Board of Fisheries, for example, in Representative Stute's committee, and again, you'll see them on the floor. And as you've seen, if you've been here a couple of years, sometimes things go exceedingly awry for these appointees, and it can be rather hard to watch, actually, in the public forum, because sometimes there's an issue that comes out. It's like, well, why wasn't this made known? Because these people are supposed to be upstanding individuals. The second point I would make to you is when you talk about having undue influence, I guess I'll again return to the testimony that Mr. Barrett provided to the committee. On the board process, they all sit at a dais, much as you are now, and once you're recused, you go back and you can sit in the audience, and I've heard from a number of people, the general thing is you say, I have a conflict, you leave, you sit in the audience, and people immediately start asking you questions, and you're sitting back there, you are not on the record at that point. And you are having an influence on the process at that point, I would argue. With this bill, you'll still be sitting up at the dais on the record, again, much as you are now, and I think that would actually limit the amount of influence you would have because everything you say is on the record.
Any follow-up? Any additional questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I still am struggling. I'm a registered engineer, so I deal with the Board of Registration, have for 35 years, the Board of Registration for Engineers, Architects, Land Surveyors, and they've got a board, and it includes an engineer, an architect, and several different engineers and land surveyors. And, I've seldom attended a meeting, but, they kind of, are involved in mapping out the, how the profession works in Alaska. And as I
mentioned earlier, again, through the chair, there's a quarter of a million people in the state with a fishing license, you know. I mean, arguably, and I don't know what sort of standards, I think based on our last discussion, I don't think there's that you have to be, of any particular type of fishing discipline to participate in the Board of Fisheries. But it seems to me if you got seven people, you should be able to find seven people that aren't, tied up shoelaces with somebody else to be able to practically, manage and do good work, particularly when they have access to the abundant resources that exist in the advisory committees and in the various and sundry professional elements within, fish and game. And so I guess I'm still struggling with, how making things, broadening this, eliminating and basically, kind of covering over the conflicts is good for the public, and basically getting past the Ethics Act, and why it isn't easy, why you can't find seven people that can actually do the good work. And I don't know how often people are recused, I don't know if it's every meeting or whatever, but it just seems like it shouldn't be that big a problem.
Representative Birch, to the chair, you mentioned the Board of Engineering. For example, an engineer and architect, these are professional people. They have studied this, and they are very good at what they do. I could make a kid drawing with my left hand with a crayon, and that would qualify as a drawing, but I don't think that would qualify me as a professional who should be sitting on that board. Much the same thing, someone who merely owns a fishing license may not be qualified to sit on the Board of Fisheries. We would hope to have someone who is a high-caliber professional, not that they're a professional fisherman, but that they are very well learned in the industry, have a great depth of knowledge, and are able to lend their expertise to the board. That's why these people are here, not simply because they are able to fish, for example.
Follow up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I look on here, it says members are appointed on the basis of their interest in public affairs, good judgment, knowledge and ability in the field of action of the board, and a view of providing diversity of interest and points of view in the membership. So, I'm just looking at, I'm not that familiar with the Fisheries Board or the Board of Game for that matter, but it seems to me like there's no compelling reason that, by God, you have to have somebody that's been a saner for 10 years, or you have to have somebody, because I know in the Board of Registration for Architects, you have to have somebody that's an architect that's filling the architectural slot and so forth, but I don't see that kind of demand placed on the Fisheries Board.
If I could respond, this is Representative Stutz. In response to that, when somebody applies for a board seat, they are usually a fisher person of some sort, whether it be subsistence, commercial, sport, whatever it is. So if it is, say, a commercial fisher person who fishes a set-net site 3 months of the year, and they're on this board, and they're going to discuss salmon fisheries in that area, they're excluded currently. They cannot participate in the conversation. So their knowledge is, it goes by the wayside. Whereas what we're trying to do is, because they are involved in the particular fishery that is being discussed, is to impart their knowledge to the board. Whether or not they are allowed to vote on it is, if they're conflicted out, they certainly would not. But that does not preclude them from allowing the board to have their information and their knowledge of that particular fishery.
So in South Central, say we've got 40,000 people that want to use a personal use dip net fishery in on the Kenai River. Obviously, they're going to be some benefit to them to hauling home a big pile of fish. Would that take away from their ability to participate in this case?
It certainly would. It depends on the, excuse me, this is Representative Stutz through the chair. If they were discussing the dip net fishery, it most certainly would conflict them out currently.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Rauscher.
Yes, through the chair. Breakout sessions are not allowed for anyone but on the board.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, that's a board of game question. If I could call a lifeline, maybe Thor Stacey could enlighten us. We did have Christy Tibbles at the prior meeting, but she was unable to attend tonight. She's the executive director of the board of game.
Mr. Stacey, do you want to come back up and share if there's something you have to add to that question?
For the record, my name is Thor Stacey, and I'm happy to, if you could please repeat to the chair, if you could please repeat the question.
I'm just trying to understand the difference here. People on the breakout sessions that the board may have are only allowed the board members. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, so the breakout session and the subcommittee work is a board of fish function. There's a lot of complexity with board of fish proposals that and the number and the duration of the meeting. That same complexity doesn't exist at the board of game. So the board of game doesn't do the breakout session and the work group work like the board of fish. So the board of game process is different in that regard, based on a little bit simpler process and a simpler suite of proposals.
And through the chair, with fisheries? With fisheries group there?
The board of fish.
How do they deal with this?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I am absolutely unqualified respond to a question on the board of fisheries.
Thank you,
Mr. Stacey. Mr. McCune with the United Fishermen of Alaska is in the audience. We're going to invite him to come forward if he can help answer that question a little bit more.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Board of Fisheries.
Yes, you have to identify yourself for the record.
June McCune, I represent Native Fishermen of Alaska. Sorry, it's a little late. But they adopted a process where they take so many proposals and they put them in a committee. And they sign a committee, two committee members to have that committee. And they might have three of them going on at the same time, so it's kind of hard to be at all three of them at the same time. But that lets people go to that group one in group two and three and take up those proposals that they're interested in. Or sometimes, like this statewide meeting, they're going to have what they call the committee of the whole. That's where everybody can sit in the audience and then they give testimony from that way, and the chair recognizes you. But the committees, they take up these proposals, they bring them back, and they get to hear from everybody in the committee, and then the chair, the board member that's the chair, reports back to the full committee. It's just called a breakout committee. It doesn't mean that you still get to take part. You're still, as a conflicted board member, and by the way, board members will still be conflicted out if they have a financial conflict. I mean, if they're partners with their son or whatever, they're going to be conflicted out. So they have the same chance as I do to sit in the audience and put your hand up and maybe say a thing or two. But where we're trying to get to is where that member could sit and answer board members' questions around the table when they deliberate that one particular proposal, which he or she may have the expertise. When those questions come up, that person can't do that now. They have to sit in the audience if they're conflicted out. They can't say anything. Only the 5 minutes or 2 minutes that you're allowed as a regular person to testify.
Representative Rauscher, do you have a follow-up?
I guess I'm just at a loss at how no one else is able to supply this information that you have that you can't talk about, I guess. That's all I'm just trying to figure out. That's all.
You want me to answer that?
Sure, Mr. McCune, if you could address that.
Well, I've been fishing for 50 years. I mostly fished in Prince William Sound. I know a little bit about southeast fishing. I know a little bit about Kodiak fishing. I know a little bit about out west Red Area M in Bristol Bay. But I'm not an expert in Bristol Bay. And I may call my friend out there, Robin Samuelson, or I may call somebody in King Cove or other things to ask questions. But I am an expert in Prince William Sound. And that's where I'm going to be conflicted out. As a permit holder, I'm sitting on the board as a gillnetter, and I have a son that's a gillnetter, so I probably would be conflicted out and not be able to vote because of a financial conflict. But I do know about those fisheries. I've been there over 50 years. Now, the rest of people that came, like John Jetson, that came from Southeast, the current chairman, doesn't have that expertise in Prince William Sound. So he's going to have to rely on me to tell him what I think. Doesn't mean he has to believe everything I tell him or agree with me, but at least I had the chance to, as an expert in that area.
Through the chair, mm-hmm. Would you be the only one that could provide that information for your area?
Madam Chair, through the chair, Representative, probably if I was sitting on the board, there's other people in the audience that spoke to their proposals, given proposals for 2 minutes, but on the board, probably so, because each person on the board, right now you have a person, you have Huntington on the board, he's from up north. You have John Jensen, he's from Southeast. You have a couple other ones, one's from Wasilla. Doesn't know much about commercial fishing, knows a little bit about dip netting, and he's learning. Peyton. So I would say everybody has their little area, and same as the legislature. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pretend to know everything about Wasilla, City Council.
And then I'll just, one more question, and then I won't. Is that I ask you questions when you're testifying because you could provide information. And I ask each person that was sitting there information, a question about their expertise and their information, including those on the phone. And so I'm able to gather information from all of you. And not having you directly in my face in a conversation, but yet I can ask you and glean information from you. I think it provides the same thing, but I may be wrong here. And that's just the point I may be trying to understand is all. Thank you. If you understand what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Like if we're at a table, we're back and forth, and we're back and forth. But yet if I was able to just ask questions of the gentlemen that were able to testify, and there could be 20 mm-hmm. besides him that work in his area, mm-hmm. but I may not be completely understanding everything.
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. Representative, you're right. You'll be able to ask questions of the people that are testifying, but different things come up as you're deliberating on the proposal that may not came up why people were testifying on the proposal, or people said, well, gee, what? How would that change the fishery if I did this or I did that? Those different questions may not come up during testimony, but may come up during deliberations. It's the same as I'm sitting here, and I'm sure. Jerry Mackey knows a lot about Southeast fishery, so is Richie Davis back there. But they don't know that much about Prince William Sound fisheries. They may know what type they are, but they don't know about the issues as well as certain people. So as you talk about there's 250,000 people or 750,000 people, first of all, anybody's crazy if they want to sit on the board of fish. I used to do that. I always wanted to do it, but I know I lost my enthusiasm for that. So you got to be a certain kind of person to do that to start with. And you got to have the another thing you have to have is the time and the money. You don't get paid very much for sitting on the board of fish, I can tell you that. So you got to have the time, the money, and you want to, and the willingness to do it. And that's where the pool gets cut down.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And you were very polite to answer all my questions. Thank you.
We have two more questions, one from Representative Drummond, and then Representative Birch, and then Representative Tallarico. And then we'll ask Mr. Haight. So, Mr. Haight, please stay on the line if there's anything that you want to add.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And through the chair, we might need Mr. Thor. I'm sorry, I forgot his last name already.
And we do have Ms. Tibbles, the executive director for the Board of Game, online now as well. Right. So that'd be a good person we can direct those questions to.
Mr. McCune, I'm sorry, I don't have the whole, you know, background on the Board of Fish or the Board of Game. I've never been to either of their meetings or any of their meetings. I have served on a school board, and there are differences in the way boards and legislative bodies operate. Are Board of Fish members chosen based on their region? Do the rules say that Board of Fish members have to represent, there has to be one from Prince William Sound and one from the north and one from Bristol Bay, or is it is that sort of left up to the selection process to see if we get an even spread around the state?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, it doesn't really say a whole lot in the statute. It just says there should be qualified people. There's people that think it should be designated seats. There's people that think it should be one from each area, but it doesn't really say that. It's totally up to that governor how they put their boards together, basically, is how it's been over year after year.
And they're just seven on Board of Fish and seven on the Board of Game.
Okay. Yeah, yes.
And you did say, again through the chair, the Board of Fish has breakout sessions. And earlier, a testifier mentioned ACs, which was then clarified as advisory committees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a Board of Fish process. That's a Board of Game process.
They're both.
Yeah.
I'll let him.
Madam Chair, Representative, the ACs are each region has an AC, like Prince William Sound has one. Anchorage has an AC that's having a meeting right now. Advisory committees, and they're made up of different, you know, gear types and different people that sport fish or dip net. And they take up all the proposals, and they get a little bit more. They're underneath the Board of Fish and Game. They get a little bit more time to testify. They get 5 minutes, so they have to pick a person. And the idea is that, you know, the people, local people, will be able to get a little bit more say through their advisory committee for their area.
So then the advisory committee does or does not include a member of the Board of Fish?
To the chair, Representative Drummond, no. Not usually. But the Board of Fish will do a couple things. Sometimes they'll send a panel somewhere, like to Fairbanks, to take testimony for mm-hmm. folks that can't come, mm-hmm. or to Kenai or different places. They'll do that. But the advisories are funded through the Board of Fish budget.
Okay.
And they hold elections, and they have, you know, the same things. Hold elections for the members.
Okay. And I guess an equivalent question should be asked on the Board of Game. Is there a similar structure mm-hmm. within the Board of Game, and is that mm-hmm. what breakout sessions are?
Maybe, and let's just make sure, any other questions, because I can get Ms. Tibbles on Board of Game questions, but perhaps we should just make sure there are no other questions, because I know Representative Birch and Representative Tallarico had questions. Were they specifically for Mr. McCune?
Yes.
Okay, hold that thought, Representative Drummond, and we'll go to Representative Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. McCune, you had mentioned proposals. I don't have a clue as to what that means. I'm not that familiar with how the Board of Fisheries works. So, who generates a proposal? What does a proposal encompass? And yeah, you know, what's maybe if it'd be helpful if you could give a 2-minute synopsis of how that works and what that means.
Representative Birch, I don't mean to interrupt, but we do have Christy Tibbles as the Executive Director for the Board of Game, and Mr. Haight, who's the Executive Director for the Board of Fish. And I guess I sort of feel like that's more appropriate if we direct them to those two as the, you know, official staff responsible for that. So if that'd be okay with you. And then was there another question then for Mr. McCune? I just want to make sure we don't sort of mix up people's roles here. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know that Mr. McCune's he's watched the Board of Fish for a long time. And every legislator here probably knows, because you'll hear this from people in the industry and sport fishermen and everything. There's the unwritten rule that we have to have balance on that board. You're not supposed to say that in public, but that's the unwritten rule, and everybody knows it, that you're going to have X amount of sport fishermen and X amount of commercial fishermen. Mm-hmm. Sport fishermen ever declare a conflict? Normally conflicts are always about financial interest. Is there a situation where a sport fisherman would ever declare a conflict?
Through the chair, Representative Tallarico. The one I can remember is Ed Dersham was on the board. He had a lodge, and there was some kind of conflict. I can't remember exactly what it was. And then there was the time I testified before, Howard Delo, which is from Wasilla, that's not a commercial fisherman, just a recreational sport fisherman, was conflicted out because his aunt had a permit and a set net fisherman. But he wouldn't have had any financial gain from that, but he was conflicted out. That's the one time I can remember, and there might have been a couple other times, but I don't remember, Madam Chair.
Okay, so if I could follow that, that generally would have to do with that close affiliation is where that not so much for the lodge owner, although I would say he's more of an outfitter than, so he's kind of got a commercial interest there, but your aunt would have a permit, and that's, to me, I have no problems with the actual close affiliations here. I mean, I've had to declare conflict before because I have a 38-year-old son who's been on his own for, 18 years and owns two homes and raises his own family and happens to work for DOT. I don't share any financial. I'd like to share a financial interest. It's far better than mine. But we don't share any of that. But there's a, and I think the hard part here that everybody probably needs to think about, there's a public perception here. And I understand the deliberation part, but I also, here's the hurdle that I will have to get over. I can't see putting a bigger target on these people than letting them sit there and deliberate, quite honestly. And I'm not looking at it from the expertise side for as much as the public's perception of what's happening there. And that, I think, is a tough one for everybody because that's probably...
we did some...
And everyone here probably realizes sometimes perception is reality. Facts don't matter. Mm-hmm. Occasionally perception can be reality. So that's probably, I'm just a statement for the rest of the committee members. I think that's probably the toughest thing that we're looking at, and the reason that we see that. There's no question if you can use someone's expertise, you should. But each one of us here, likely at one point in time or another, has been attacked for our expertise, and we wanted to utilize that because we thought we had that basic knowledge, and then the public said, you're too close to the situation. There must be some gain for you. You're too close to this. So I think it's difficult because if I read this correctly, a person could have the financial interest, and then when they do that conflict, they still have the ability to deliberate, and I think their expertise is incredibly valuable. But I think the public may think differently on that. That's a tough one. I would think for each legislator that's kind of a high hurdle. The close family association, we've had that go way too far, way too long. You've got family members you might not even speak to them, and you haven't talked to them for the last 10 or 15 years, but they would still be considered a close family association, and that wouldn't be fair. But I just want, and I want my committee members to know and everybody in the room, that there's a little bit of a hurdle there for me because of the deliberation part, I think, is difficult.
Madam Chair, let's put it a different way. There's a yellow line that the Board of Fish has and the Board of Game that you can't cross. You have to have the board member come over and talk. So as a board member, let's say I was a smart board member, and they call me over, a couple board members call me over, ask me some questions. So I answered the questions on the side over here. Now, I'd rather have that person up at the table answering those questions where I could hear that, instead of two board members calling me over the side to ask me the question. And then on another question, Madam Chair, if I had a $2 million lodge, I suppose this would be a conflict. If I decided to take those fish away from the commercial guys and decide I was going to allocate those to the sport guy, that would be a direct financial gain for my lodge. So I would assume that somebody would call that. But this would happen. I know that the board member that's conflicted out sitting in the audience could be called over by two or three board members, and then a little conversation over here and asking them, her or him, questions, and same thing. But you don't get to hear them as the audience.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Representative Rush, we'll do this last question, then I will get some cleanup here from the couple of staff we have on the phone. Representative Rauscher.
I don't really have a question. I just have some facts.
Okay.
We did some looking, and 34 cases in the Board of Fisheries, there were four conflicts of interest, and then there were none in the Board of Game in the last 2 years. So I just thought I'd let you know that.
Appreciate that. I think, Mr. McCune, thank you so much that you were here tonight. And I want to for Mr. Haight and then Ms. Tibbles, I think there's two things that you could weigh in on here that could be helpful to folks. One is my understanding what makes the Board of Fish and Board of Game a bit different, and I think this goes all the way back to statehood when these statutes were written, is that, you know, they're very general in description versus the Board of Hairdressers, Board of Engineers, anything like that. You know, it's much more specific about the individuals who would participate in those type of boards versus, you know, the Board of Game and Board of Fish are just basically, you know, you have to be an Alaskan resident and be interested. So that's a little bit different. And then the second item would be, and this goes to Representative Talarico's concern, that if there was an individual who, you know, it seemed under these revised rules was behaving improperly, there would still be a process through the Ethics Act to challenge any of those decisions or behavior. And so could you please speak to those, and maybe we could just have Mr. Haight go first?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Glenn Haight, Executive Director of the Alaska Board of Fisheries. I'm happy to address those, and if it helps, there's a lot of other things that we discussed that I could probably provide some light on, if that's okay, Chair.
Sure.
The statute that defines what, you know, what a board member's qualifications are is very general. I think Stephan or Harris read those off. They have to be qualified, you know, have good judgment, and have some basis and understanding of the area of the board, the game or Board of Fisheries. But I just add one note. It specifically says that it is not based on geography. So there was that question about whether it could be on location. It's statute specific that it is not to be based on that. To Representative Tarico's discussion about with behavior that was not appropriate or not somehow displeasing, would that be under the Ethics Act? Your discussion, I think, Representative, was a great point. You know, I could see that being something that a board member who has been recused to vote would need to work a fine line between advocating too much and providing good information. And I think that's just a personal challenge that individuals have to deal with. I don't see anything that would come back to, you know, in this bill or in the Ethics Act, that would come back to eliminate them further. I mean, they would be up in front of people deliberating on a proposal, but not voting on it. So I don't know if that's what would happen in that situation, other than you get it just a natural reaction of the other board members. Madam Chair, would you like me to address further items?
Sure. If you, we probably don't have too much longer, but if there's a couple things you want to get on the record, and I'll just make this announcement, we will not get to HGR 12 or HB 32 this evening for anybody who is waiting online for those items. We will not be able to address those. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Just one thing. Just a discussion about the Board of Fisheries process on committees as opposed to the Board of Game. Perhaps it helps to give you just a general idea about how meetings go. First of all, there's an ethics disclosure where board members provide the disclosures, and that's talked about in 220, where they go through that process, and that happens in the meetings. And then from there, it goes into staff reports and then public testimony. And that's where, after public testimony, it's where the Board of Game and Board of Fisheries have a departure. Board of Game will generally go into deliberations right there. And deliberations are essentially where you share what your opinion on things, and you work to sway the other board members to your position. That's what deliberations is. And so that happens right away with the Board of Game in general. With the Board of Fisheries, they will break out into committees. And just like public testimony, in committees, board members don't deliberate. They don't say their positions. They don't tell people what they're thinking or what thoughts they're forming. They ask questions of people. And so an individual that's been recused from a particular proposal will still engage in those committees, because they're asking questions. It's not where you actually share your opinions about things. So I thought that would be useful to note here. There was a question about what is a proposal, and I think
Madam Chair, and maybe it's going too deep for you right now. The proposal is basically a petition, a regulatory petition. The Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game are far from their lead from the Administrative Procedures Act, where it allows someone to petition the Department for regulatory change. Well, there's so much request and so much interest in regulatory change for the Board of Fisheries and Board of Game that those two systems have created their own sort of their own little world inside ATA where they've turned to take this petition and it's now a proposal. And so they open up regions and species every year on a 3-year basis for whatever petitions slash proposals people want to send to them. And that's essentially what they do. I'll stop there, Madam Chair, but I guess I could continue to go on with Board Process 101 if you'd like.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Haight. Any questions for Mr. Haight?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Drummond, and then yes. We're going to try and move quickly.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Haight. Thank you, Madam Chair. Advisory committees, breakout sessions, executive sessions. Someone here mentioned an executive session earlier this evening. Would the parameters of this bill change apply to, well, I guess, first of all, does the Board of Fish or the Board of Game engage in executive session? And would these rules apply in an executive session where the public is not, does not have access to the members?
Yeah, to the Chair, Representative Drummond. Both the boards can go in the executive session and do, but it would not be for the purposes of delivering on a proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Any other questions? Representative Birch.
To follow up on earlier inquiry on the proposals, who would...
Mr. Haight would be good for Board of Fish, and then we'll ask Ms. Tibbles to join us here in a moment.
Okay, yeah. Just there was some testimony about the proposal process. I just wonder if you could clarify that.
To the Chair, Representative Birch, happy to. So the Board of Fisheries and Board of Game both receive hundreds of regulatory proposal requests every year. And back in the 80s, it was hundreds and too much to handle. So what they've eventually done is they've created a system where currently, on a 3-year cycle, they will say to Alaska, we're going to be taking up the following regions and the following species next year. Please give us all of your ideas, all of your best thinking, all of your regulatory proposals that you would like to see change that we make from, and we will consider those. And so that call goes out, the call for proposals, and that goes out in November, December of a year. Those proposals are due typically in April or May, depends on the board. And so in that springtime, we get all of these hundreds of proposals for each of the boards. Those proposals are put into a proposal book and made available to the public by the end of summer. And within the summer, those proposals are then sent to the public and advisory committees. We touched on those a little bit earlier here in this discussion. They'll receive those and they'll go through those and provide recommendations to each board about those proposals. And then at the regulatory meetings of each board, they will take up each proposal. They will listen to the public. They will deliberate on it and they will make decisions on those.
Okay, a follow-up, Representative Birch, and then Representative Josephson.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. So what's an example of a proposal? I mean, just in a nutshell, and who are they provided by, and are they formally written up, or is it just, you know, somebody, you know, sends you a letter, or how is it actually configured? I'm not familiar with the process. Through the Chair?
Certainly. To the Chair, Representative Birch. Yeah, there's a proposal form people fill out, and they're asked to cite specific regulations that they'd like to change, and if it's a brand new regulation, then they don't need to worry about that as much. Example, it can be very simple. Perhaps someone would like to change the bag limit in a particular fishery from 3 fish to 5 fish, or perhaps someone thinks you need to close the fishery entirely because of conservation concerns. This is certainly common. Right now, we're in Anchorage doing statewide king and tanner crab proposals. And so we've got proposals from the Bering Sea for tanner crab, for king crab. We've got Prince William Sound proposals, one to create a tanner crab fishery in Prince William Sound. We've got some for cooking. So it's
they're very specific to certain areas in the regulation.
Representative Birch, I might be able to offer a little hint on this. About 4 or 5 years ago, the Dispatch News, which was then called the Daily News, did a pretty long story about a kid from Chugiak who was like 12 or 13 who had filed a proposal on some game issue. And he was this boy was literally writing or trying to write a law, no different than we would in this building. It's sort of the ultimate in democracy in that respect. That's what those proposals are.
Okay. By way of follow-up, Madam Chair, so from the standpoint of, I guess I'm trying to understand the kind of the context that these proposals come in. Does the board receive guidance or receive any guidance from fish and game professionals that say, we can't fish this thing, fish this fishery, for 12 months out of the year, all the fish will be gone, or do they give a window, or how it seems like there needs to be some sort of context in how those proposals are offered or solicited somehow.
To the Chair, Representative Bush, in the board's call for proposals, they will specifically list which regions and which species they'll accept proposals on. Once those proposals are received, they are organized, of course, according to area and species. And the department, through its divisions of wildlife conservation for the Board of Game and through sport fish and commercial fisheries, through the Board of Fisheries, as well as business subsistence participates in both boards, they will provide staff comments. Very detailed comments. They will also prepare very detailed management reports that are a very consistent body of work. They provide years and years of context. The department will provide statements of positions, whether they're supportive, opposed, or neutral of certain proposals. And of course, they're there at all the board meetings and even at the board meetings, providing assistance to the board members.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent. Let's go then to Ms. Tibbles, and Ms. Tibbles, in your role as the Executive Director for the Board of Game, if you have anything you'd like to add in. I think, Mr. Haight pretty well covered the proposal process and some of those questions about executive session. If there's something else you'd like to add, we'd be interested to hear that.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, for the record, my name is Christy Tibbles. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Game, and Mr. Haight covered things very, very well. Both boards have pretty similar processes. The one new process you heard a little bit different are these breakout sessions, but otherwise the appointment of members is very similar, nearly identical, the language and statute that is. Following the Ethics Act, conflicts of interest and whatnot, executive session. So I really don't have any more to add, but happy to answer questions and happy with any of the members to visit to give them more information about the Board of Game, Board of Fish, and Advisory Committee process.
Thank you, Ms. Tibbles. Any questions for Ms. Tibbles? Okay. Seeing no questions, we really appreciate you being on the line this late evening, and whatever folks are doing to be away from their families, we appreciate your time tonight. Okay, I think that brings the bill before us for committee discussion. Is there any committee discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Josephson, and then Representative Wesley.
So, Madam Chair, like any bill, I could always vet something more and more and more, and I think I've done due diligence on this, and this bill is about deliberating. That's what this bill is about. And I hesitate to say this because I know our ledge legal team is very skilled, but I don't agree. I think there's more caution shown in this one-page memo than needs to be, and here's why. First of all, the bill, if you look at the definition of immediate family member on line 12, it says in this subsection. So it's not saying we're changing the world. It's just saying for purposes of whether you can deliberate, it's just in G. So you can dispense with looking at anything else. The other thing is We have legislative history from Mr. Harris that says we're not doing away with 3952220. There's no repealer that does away with 3952220. So there would still be this hugely complicated vetting process. According to this, you got to write the Attorney General. I mean, that's extensive. Okay. And so this is sort of a narrow thing. And this bill, as I said, is about deliberating. Nothing's repealed. I would say that a reviser, if you look at the alleged legal opinion, it says that if this bill became law, there would be this subsection A of 3952220, which says you can't deliberate in certain circumstances, and this would sort of trump that single word. So I think that this word deliberate might have to go away, but that looks like a reviser's note kind of thing. There was a lot of discussion about who can influence who. All of these things are human institutions, just like this building. People respond to kindness, for example. That's well known. And they respond to honesty and communication. But these are human institutions. There's nothing, I don't know that we want to change that. I think that the case was made and not rebutted that there's just excessive situations where these Board of Fish members they're sitting there and they're recused and they're just back there with the public, good people, I'm sure, but they can't contribute anything. I'm frankly intrigued by the idea that they could deliberate in these committees. I think that's fantastic. They'll ask questions that no one else would ask. So I like this bill.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Representative Wesley.
Yes, and through the chair. Goodness, I don't know why anyone would want to do this stuff. I was counting. There are three minors amongst us here. And as we've got a finite resource, we know the price. We know when it's played out, it's played out. You folks deal with something volatile. It's elusive. And I'm counting. As a third-generation miner here, I've counted at least 80, probably 120 of my relatives. My paternal grandfather was a miner. My maternal grandfather was a miner. Today at the House floor, we had House pages, all three preteens over there. Two of them are commercial fishermen, and these are preteen girls. I can see where the angst comes from, and especially Representative Stutz, I really commend you for bringing this forward. As I'm looking at this, I'm looking from our perspective when we're out there. We've got family camps out there. I've got a sister. She's a minor and got enough money and went to school, became a teacher. I've got a brother that's a minor. I've got a nephew down here at Greens Creek. There's any mine in Alaska I'm going to find where I've got relatives. And we own family, we own native allotments together. We own family camps together. These things are financial interests. I mean, and when I look at what you're trying to do with your resources and trying to find best practices to bring it forward, holy mackerel, does this need a revamping? So thank you very much for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you, Representative Westlake. Representative Drummond has a comment.
I'm going to start calling this, thank you, Madam Chair, I'm going to start calling this the 6 degrees of separation bill becomes half a degree of separation. And I've been saying this for years, and this has absolutely nothing to do with Board of Fish or Board of Game. When I met my husband my current husband, in 1999, we couldn't figure out why we hadn't already met because we knew so many people in common. And at that time, there was a film out, which you might remember, called 6 degrees of separation. And I decided, well, it's not 6 degrees of separation in Alaska. It's one or half a degree of separation in Alaska. And this is bringing it, really showing me how closely related we all are here in Alaska. And other than all of us are from a different district, you know, where the line ends, although I have to ask, why does Mr. Josephson's district intrude on mine in a certain place? You know, there's a clear, bright line between our districts. But in a case like this, I think Mr. Stacy said it best. He really clarified it for me when he described the three areas that. Do with it. Sorry, too many notes here. The three areas of concern being conservation, allocation, and conflict. And he really laid it out clearly how these boards need to operate. And I don't see any reason to make people with a great deal of knowledge sit on the sidelines when they've been sent by their community to contribute. So I'm supportive of this bill.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Any other comments? Representative Birch.
I'm not a fan of this. I still struggle with the availability of people. I think maybe with some modifications. I'm not sure exactly how, but I think maybe there's some modifications that can be made to this to make it acceptable. But in its current form, I don't support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Birch. Representative Tallarico.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. And I do understand. I understand, but I have that high hurdle. I think it's the will of the committee to move it, so I'm not going to try and stop it. But right now, I got to be honest with you. I think about these people when they're put in that situation, and if it came down to a decision where there was a vote and either the chairman or the committee decided someone had a conflict of interest, I would really recommend to that person, rather than hanging out, go get a cup of coffee. Somebody will send you a text when that deliberation is over, Even though we can use their expertise, I just really think that the perception of the public I don't want to put a bullseye on anybody. I don't want to put a target on anybody. Previous experience, I've been there. It's not a comfortable place, and I there's no question. It takes very special people to serve on these boards. I've only been to one Board of Fish meeting, but I've been to Board of Game meetings. And there is no we hear about fish wars. Well, we have game wars too. And I just can't think. I've never been to a meeting where everyone in the room was completely satisfied that the decision was made. It just does not happen. And it's probably because both of these resources are incredibly precious to us. I would say I don't think they should ever be separated from how these things will be determined. I think the Board of Game and Board of Fish deal with those particular similar resources. I know it's fish and game, but there's a similarity there because of the consumers of the resource and the potential for making a living off of the resource. And I know it's incredibly important to us. So, like I say, I certainly won't stop it. But right now, I just haven't gotten over that hurdle yet to be an on-board supporter. But I do appreciate the whole idea that second, not only we call it the second degree of kindred.
Bless you.
And that for years that's gone so far out that I think reining that in probably helps substantially. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Rauscher.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. My email and the testimonies are almost dead even. I only wish that more people came forward to testify to give a better idea of the temperature of the water, so to speak. I'm not a big fan of what we're trying to do here, to tell you the honest truth. I'm not sure the relevance here and its importance, but it just seems like we're making special cases for a group of people or two groups of people or however many, and then I just don't, I'm not sure that's a good way to write legislation. I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm. I think if it's worked for many years, for many, 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 many groups, one has a heart attack with it. I don't really quite understand why you keep writing laws for certain isolated cases. So I'm going to have a hard time with voting yes for this, but I will try to stand in your way.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Seeing no other committee, we do have folks that have to leave at 9 p.m., so we're just running up under the time limit here. Do you, Representative Parrish?
It's not necessary. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I think one thing we could do for the committee, because we will have confirmations coming forward, is we'll provide the statutory language for some of the different boards, and I think it will highlight why there's a little bit of a difference here, because the statute related to the Board of Game and Board of Fish is just very general versus Big Game's Commercial Services Board, for example. I mean, it specifically states that people in the industry would be there, and they're expected to vote, so it does sort of set these boards outside of what is done in other boards, and hopefully we'll get a chance to spend a little more time on that as we go through, and I'm glad this has come up, because we'll make sure that we provide that, you know, so everybody has it before we do those confirmations and can think those things through a little bit more. So since we're running out of time, Representative Josephson, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, I move committee substitute for House Bill 87 Fisheries, it's version 30-LS0376/R with attached zero fiscal note.
Okay, is there any objection? Okay, seeing no objection, House Bill 87 will move from committee. We'll sign the paperwork as we exit the committee this evening. We'll need to keep that Wednesday evening meeting this week to get caught up on matters from last week that we didn't have an opportunity to address. So that will be House Bill 172, the Hemp Bill, House Bill 46, the Agricultural Product Preference, and then the GMO Salmon, opposing GMO Salmon, and we'll try and get those caught up and then be caught up before the end of the week and back on track. So thank you so much to everyone for the evening attendance, and sorry for a long Monday. Getting back into the swing of things on a Monday. And with that, we will, if there's no other business, to come before the committee. Okay. Again, thank you, everyone, and thank you to the bill sponsor and the individuals who stuck with us. Thank you to Mr. Tibbles and Mr. Haight for being on the phone. Ms. Tibbles and Mr. Haight. Thank you. We are adjourned at 8:52.